Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
It's time for the BAQ. I don't know why I always forget the cadence. It's time for the BAQA. The BAQA. This is Brown Ambition.
Giving you a beat. Did you hear it?
Question and answer. I always forget the beat. The BAQA. The BAQA.
Boom,
the
boom.
The BAQA. Okay. The BAQA. That's what I forgot. It's like the BAQA. The BAQA. Yes. Okay. Welcome back and welcome black. It is Brown Ambition question and answer, and we love your Qs. And although we don't have all the A's, we try our best.
We do. We give you the best A's, lowercase A's is how yes. I like to say. Yes. Take it with a handful of salt. There, I don't think there's been a question in recent memory that has led me to cackle as hard as today. One of today's questions just did. Yes. So I am excited to dive on into this mailbox that we've got here. Once again, though, before we do, y'all can hit us up with your questions. We get most of ours through Instagram, where you can DM us at Brown Ambition Podcast. And don't forget to follow and like some posts, you know, while you're there. But also you can DM us without following. That's fine. You can also hit us up directly. Email brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com.
All right. So question numero uno. Hey, ladies. Love the show. Love you back, girl. My husband and I have 4 kids. The question is, where does their credit score start? Do they start with a perfect score or at 0? Bonus question, what advice would you give an 18-year-old as they begin building their credit? This is a great question. Okay, so know this, that legally, if your child is under the age of 18, they can't sign for, like, most credit is built upon you've made some sort of relationship or promise to a lender that you are going to borrow and pay back based upon their terms. So if a child is under the age of 18, they can't legally sign for that. But it is possible that you put them, like, you know, when they're like 16 on your, like, you know, like, you could be an authorized user. So meaning, like, you put them on your card, that means that they can use your card. They're not a joint, you know, it's not a joint card, so they're not responsible for the debt, but they can use your card and therefore start to build credit. So people start to do that. But, and so I just want you to understand this, that, like, no, you, kids don't start with perfect scores. I want you to think about a credit score the way you would think about driving. Like, do kids, like, if you are driving, there's a reason why if you're going to get insurance for your teenager who's driving, that you get the highest rate. Because by default, because they don't have any driving experience, they are considered a bad driver out the gate. They don't have to get into an accident. You're a terrible driver, sis. You just got here. It's the same thing with credit, right? Credit really is, you have to think about it as a GPA. It's an average of your choices, and you haven't made any choices yet if you're still really young. So there's nothing. They're like, you don't have any history. You can't prove that you can pay. You know, you can't prove that you can borrow responsibly. So your kids kind of start off low and then they build themselves up with good behavior. So just keep that in mind. But you can kind of, you can give them, my dad did this for me. You can give them that kind of like extra boost by adding them as an authorized user to a current card that you're paying off in full every month. So by the time that they're 18 years old and they can get their own credit card, you know, they have a credit score that's decent in comparison to their friends. What about some advice? Do you have some advice for their 18-year-old building their credit, Mandra?
Yeah, a couple of ideas. One, I think it's really important that they build their credit. Full stop. I didn't realize how many people graduate without having any credit at all. And I was trying to think back to how did I establish credit in college? One was I did get a credit card that, you know, I would max out all of the time because it was like $300 limit. So I didn't have great credit, but I had a credit score, you know. Another way was once I graduated anyway, when your student loan, if they have student loans, when you start making payments 6 months after graduation, that will start appearing on your credit. And as long as you're making payments on time, that can help you build credit as well. Tiff, you said becoming an authorized user on a parent's credit card is definitely one way.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's only a gift if you, the parent, are good at paying your bill in full. And, you know, because they don't. It's not good.
They inherit the good and the bad.
But I will say not all cards, apparently not all cards report authorized user credit history to the bureau. So it may not. So you have to just check. And there's actually a great article I know because I used to create articles with a huge team of writers. And we did one on credit cards that report authorized user activity to credit bureaus. So before you do that, just double check that your issuer, that your bank actually sends that information. Because you don't get, you know, who, it's like when you leave the house without your Apple Watch or your Fitbit, like, did you really walk today?
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't count unless it's counted, right?
You didn't really you could call them because when I added my sister, Lisa, the big baby, I was like, we called and I said, hey, I'd like to add Lisa to my Bank of America card. And I said, wait, does this report to credit bureaus? And they said, oh, it almost was something like we almost had to like opt into. So it doesn't hurt to just call and super easy. I had her on the phone so she can give them her social because they're going to need to do that. Also, back in the day, they used to tell you to get a store card to get started because most 18-year-olds won't qualify for a traditional unsecured card.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to do that anymore. Go ahead and get yourself a secured, have your 18-year-old get a secured credit card. You can get one for as low as a $300 deposit. So what happens is they come up with a $300, or you do, mom, and they put that money in a money market / savings account. That's the limit. And it's secured with your own money, meaning that as your 18-year-old is swiping, if for whatever reason they don't pay, because they can swipe up only up to what's in the bank, which is $300, they will snatch that $300 so fast from that savings account and say, don't worry, sis, we still got your money. So a secured card is like a credit card with training wheels because you're not actually borrowing your money from the bank. You're kind of borrowing against the money that you put up. So that's another great way that anyone with bad credit or someone with, this is what they call it when you, you don't have much of a credit score or a credit report. They call it a thin file. That's the official term, meaning like you don't have much here. So as a result of the file being thin, we just consider you a risk. That's why your credit score is not so great when you're young because you're a thin file and you're at risk. Something else, and one last thing is have your 18-year-old put the cheapest bill they have, that $10 Planet Fitness membership on that card and have them pay it off every month in full. Paying off a credit card in full every single month puts like fairy dust on your credit score because credit bureaus love to see that you paid off a debt in full. They don't care the amount. They care about the habit. And if you can automate that habit happening every single month, they're going to see that thin file get a little thick. You know, a little thick, T-H-I-C-C. That little credit score get a little booty on her. Okay.
Thicker than a Snicker. That credit file thicker than a Snicker. I forgot about that phrase and I try to find it an excuse to use it every day. So thank you for that.
And so if you want that thick credit score, like pay off your credit, you know, pay off your credit card bill every month in full, but make sure you pay it off after the statement date. The statement date is when they say, hey, credit bureaus, my child used their card, because you want them to report it was used and then it was paid off. So after the credit date, the statement date, but definitely obviously by the due date.
I walked over your words, my bad, but I got excited because I'm like, have them pay it off because I think the thing that about authorized being an authorized user is like they get the benefit, but they don't have to do anything. And I think the real teaching moment is that more like get a secured card or get your own credit card, because then they have even if they mess it up and they miss a payment and their credit score goes down, you can still, they have time to bounce back from that, but it's a learning moment. And for me, I'm like obsessed with give kids hands-on experience and don't just do it for them, because I have seen it go the wrong way. And then they graduate and they're like, how did this happen? Oh. And then they just screw it up after college when the stakes are higher.
Yeah. You know?
So just adding that.
That's good.
Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. All right, BA fam, you know we work hard and we play hard, but when it comes to investing and having your money in the market, you want your money to be working for you. That's exactly what the Betterment Automated Investment and Savings app can help it do. Keeps your money out there working hard and kicking you know what. I love Betterment because it makes it easy for even a beginning investor to figure out how to put their money in the market and set it and forget it and be at peace with that, because you know Betterment has got you covered with their automated investment and savings app. Their technology is going to give you advanced tools that are built to help you maximize those returns. All you got to do is visit Betterment.com to get started. Learn more about high-yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank. Shall we move on to the question that made me cackle?
Yes.
Can you read it so I can cackle again?
Sure. Okay. Me. Okay, I have a question regarding a student loan overpayment. I'm going to grad school to get my psych cert from a top school in the country, and I know I'm going to be able to earn an income to make the degree worth it. The program is $31,000, and I've accepted $60,000 in loans, so double your trouble. I want to invest the difference in Bitcoin.
Say that again, slower.
I want to invest the difference in Bitcoin.
Ooh,
I'm going to add the laugh track right here.
I'm like laugh. It's a laugh and a wince at the same time. But I just love the next few questions.
Right? Is this a bad idea? Or am I onto something here? I love you guys. You're like my two best friends as I drive to work.
I love you too.
Sister. Well, here's the thing. I'll say this and then you give your advice, Mandy. So That's not the first time I've heard of someone doing something like this. I remember the first time I've heard of this is I was in college and a friend of mine, we'll call him Jose. He took out more money than he needed, you know, and honestly, he used it to buy a rental property, you know, put a down payment on. And then like the money that he got from the rental property, he used it to pay back, you know, the debt. And so that's not the first time that I've heard of someone taking the overpayment and investing it, you know, because typically I remember refund checks when I was in school, undergrad, what your refund check, you was like free money, even though it wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was low interest, but you know, it was still a nice surprise. Yeah,
exactly.
Although I'm like, who gets twice as much as they need? What's going on with the math there? Investing in Bitcoin. I mean, listen, how many Bitcoin could that even buy you? Like half a Bitcoin today? What is a Bitcoin worth?
Girl, no, for real. I honestly think Bitcoins, I think, are worth like 50 or 60. Let me see. What is Bitcoin?
Can you buy a fractional Bitcoin? I don't know if you can. Now, I have some questions. First of all, I would like call the bursar's office and be like, is this for real? Because you don't want to like get rid of the money, then maybe you have to pay some of it back. But I do know they give overpayments and you can use that money for books or for rent. And especially if this is grad school you're talking about, it could very well be for your living expenses.
Yes.
I'm all about you get a windfall and you sink that into an investment and then you let it grow. I think that is a great idea, especially if you have your living, you have a job, you can pay for your living expenses, you have an emergency fund, you don't have any debt, you have all of these, you know, boxes ticked, and then this is literally just icing on the cake of your finances. Of course, I would say excess funding from a windfall, whether it's like a bonus at work or it's a gift or something like that, or in this case, a refund, check from your student loans. Yeah, like sinking that all in one time into investments, I think can be smart. Caveat, I am not an investment advisor, yes. Nor is Tiffany. But
go see your grandma, not yes. Us.
This is my new advance. I don't think Mandy from 6 years ago would have been like, yeah. I don't know if I would choose Bitcoin. First of all, it's hella expensive.
Girl, I just looked it up. It is 44.499 American, $44,000, almost $45,000 American dollars. So dude. Sis, you're not getting a piece of Bitcoin. Well, no. You're not, you know, you can't afford Bitcoin. Isn't that so crazy? So that's no.
That is insane. Do you still have your little Bitcoin?
Girl.
Didn't you have Bitcoin for a while?
I do. I have like a little piece of Bitcoin. Anyway, we're not going to talk about my Bitcoin.
Okay,
loss.
I'm sorry.
I could be on an island. It's like, no, I didn't have that much.
Don't do like the what points, if. But still.
Right. No, but I'll say this. I want you, because you're in grad school, I suspect that you have a private student loan. Private student loans interest rates tend to be a little higher than, you know, federal student loans. So I want you to make sure that whatever that student loan interest rate is, you're likely to recoup that in an investment. Meaning... You know, because there, I mean, I'm just making a number. Like if you told me that you borrowed 15%, it's like 15%, I might be like, ooh, sis, let them keep their money. Because we know that the market on average yields on the low end 7% back annually, on the high end 10% back annually. So I would want to make sure that, because I had a friend who had a student loan and her interest rate, because it was private, and she wasn't really paying attention, was higher than what you would suspect like a student loan interest rate to be. So just check on that, making sure that it's not double digit, that interest rate on that student loan. If it's not, then you are likely to make that back, you know, through investments, you know. So, you know, I probably wouldn't consider Bitcoin, to Mandy's point, but certainly I would ask myself, what are some other ways that, you know, you might just choose, honestly, an index fund. I know they're so boring, but
why do you got to say it like that? It's an amazing option.
It is.
Index funds all the way. Just get you a total stock market index fund. You can get it at Vanguard, Fidelity. They all have their own versions of it.
Or an ETF. Ideally an ETF so you could keep the fees low. Because if you put in a mutual fund, then that's somebody sitting there picking it and that person wants to get paid. We don't like her. But instead of using ETF, it's the algorithm. The algorithm doesn't need much. And so the fees are lower. So you use like Mandy said, a total market index fund, ETF. If this was me and her, because we're talking to each other, we're not giving you advisor advice. But right, Mandy, that's what I would do if I was you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that with the fact that you have, you know, you think you're going to have gainful employment after you graduate, once that 30K loan comes due, you'll be able to pay it back. And you can also be investing for wealth now while you're in your program. I think that is a savvy, rational way of doing it. But also... the second part of this is, can you sleep at night with this money in the market? Are you a savvy investor? Have you been investing already? Maybe you are because you're interested in Bitcoin, or maybe you're not because you're interested in Bitcoin. It can go either way. But yeah. I do think that you have to like factor in, you know, that bill will come due, and do you feel confident you can pay it down? And can you stomach the potential to see that investment go up and down with the market, mm-hmm. and just keep your eyes on that long-term goal of what you're
I would, you know, not invest in an individual stock. That's just like really risque, you know? So that to your point, I would not why we like index
funds. I mean,
you could
buy a bunch of whatever. You could, I mean, you can't buy any Bitcoin. I don't know if you can buy a piece of Bitcoin, but you could buy like, you know, however many shares of Tesla or whatever company you like. That's a thing that you, I said could, I didn't say should. I said you can, it is possible.
Yes.
It is possible, but it's not what I personally would do.
I don't want you to roll the dice,
ETF kind of gal.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. So if you-
thanks for the chuckle.
Yes, that was hilarious. She's like, Bitcoin, am I onto something? You are onto something. Yeah, you are onto something. No, for real. It's not in general. You're all, the idea of investing excess money is a- Sis, I see why you're getting your master's, because you're smart. We're just like redirecting it toward, you know, something else. So
imagine what could have happened if I took that $2,000 refund check and invested it in an index fund 15 years ago.
Wow.
And had not just taking it to the Gap. Where would I be? I don't even want to think about it. But yes, yes, you're very wise.
If you have questions for us, you can go to brownambitionpodcast.com, click Ask Us Anything. You can email us at
brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com.
Or you can IG message us. We are, what is our IG again? Brown Ambition Podcast.
At Brown Ambition Podcast. And while you're at our website, wave goodbye because she's getting a little makeover. Ooh. And I cannot wait. We should be ready to launch.
She very coming back soon. Cute.
Mm-hmm. It's, oh, yes. I think 6 years in, it's time for us to have a new Luke. Yeah. So watch out for a new brownambitionpodcast.com coming soon. Yes. I'm so excited. So thanks for rocking with us for 6 years.
I know. And look we'll at us going to first grade.
We'll see y'all. Or wait, 72 in dog years? Or no, how many years is a dog? Seven. Times six, 42 in dog years.
Ooh, almost as old as me.
We're Gen Xers. As a podcast.
Yes.
Okay, boomer.
In the podcast game. We grown in the podcast game.
We'll see you guys next Wednesday for the full BA show and then next Friday for the BA Q&A.
Bye, y'all.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.